Yehuda Kagan is the director at Xvant. Yehuda has spent the last 9 years educating business leaders about the risks and benefits of cloud computing, long before the cloud became an industry buzzword. He's an author of many business publications, such as e-books, white papers, and webinar series, as well as the creator of many IT and cloud evaluation tools used today. Please welcome Yehuda Kagan to the Cloud Developer Summit and Expo.
Am I just going to? Is there? Click around here. Okay, good. Okay, very good. Can everyone hear me? Okay. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the business side of cloud computing. As Marty mentioned, we've been doing this for close to 14 years, actually over 14 years right now. And the people that I typically work with are small and mid-sized business owners. So not necessarily IT people, but the people that would make the decision and ultimately the people that will be using the technology. And when I talk to a lot of these business owners or CFOs or C-level people, I guess I could turn this off. Can everyone hear me?
No?
Okay, so. Okay, very good. All right, so when I do talk to people, these small and mid-sized business owners, a lot of times I'll talk to them, and they have a lot of concerns about cloud computing. Many of those concerns are concerns security, accessibility, downtime, everything like that, things that they don't understand and they're not familiar with. And so I spent a lot of my day explaining to him about how the cloud, in many instances, provides them with vastly better security, vastly better support, vastly better systems that they would normally be able to afford without it. But after I go through this this array of different benefits, you know, they're smart, savvy people, they're just not technically savvy people. And the question that they'll always ask me is, well, what could go wrong? Because it sounds too good to be true. What could possibly go wrong? Because you're painting a nice rosy picture, but what could possibly go wrong? And I want to talk a little bit about today, in the next 10, 15 minutes or so, of why cloud projects fail, at least from our perspective, and from what we've seen over the last 14 years. And so when I talk to these business owners or the CFOs or C-level people, most of the times I will point to a misalignment of some sort. And today I'll talk about the top three misalignments that we've seen over the last 14 years in our company. A lot of times I talk to business owners, and a lot of times they'll come to me first. And they'll come and say, hey, I'm ready to move to the cloud. And my first question is always why. And many times the answer, the response to that question, many times the response to that question is always, well, it just seems like that's the way to go. It seems like the industry is moving in that direction, and I'm going to move with it. And my response to that is, don't go in cold. That's the first priority, because what happens is that there's so many. Cloud is a very nebulous sort of topic. It's a very broad topic, and it means a lot of things to a lot of people. And so if that being the case, it's very difficult for you to first understand why you need to move to the cloud, and second of all, you're going to have a hard time building objectives. And so the first overlooked cloud issue, the first misalignment is aligning the benefits of the cloud with the objectives that you're trying to achieve or the challenges that you're trying to overcome. I can tell you it's too many times. And so, for example, if you look at the typical IT challenges that a business typically has to troubleshoot, there are a myriad of different issues. And I recommend that clients or prospective companies, small and mid-sized business owners, I recommend that they look at all those issues that can happen, all the issues that might happen, all the issues that have happened, and realize that that's 90% of your IT budget. Most of the IT budget is dedicated towards resolving these issues or mitigating these risks. And so what I recommend is take those issues that have happened or that you feel might happen and put them into some sort of risk assessment, internal risk assessment. And because without that, you're not going to be able to gauge success of your cloud project, and number two, you're not going to be able to choose the right model. There are myriad different cloud models. You can back up in the cloud. You can do everything in the cloud. It's just a fancy word for the internet, essentially. And so here's an example of a risk assessment that we put together. It's just the top three rows here. But essentially what it is it lets the company know why they're moving to the cloud. Is it because they need more uptime, or better uptime, or is it because they have a problem with disaster recovery? Would a disaster ruin their business? So you got to look at what are the possible problems, what might those problems cost? Obviously you want to know what the probability of those issues are, and then what does it cost to mitigate those risks, and then can cloud do it better and more efficiently, or can you do it better and more efficiently? And that's when you start looking into cloud. Otherwise, you're going to have a hard time finding the right model. And I'm telling you, time after time, a lot of companies have come to me and come to even some of our competitors, and they decided to move to the cloud just because that's the way that things are moving, and they've been unsuccessful. So that's one of the reasons why we've seen cloud being unsuccessful. A few critical systems you might want to think about, and additionally, or you know, how they interconnect with other systems, things of that nature. The second misalignment that I've seen is systems with other systems. I once spoke to a CFO of a 200-300 person company, and he was a very bright guy, not just business savvy, but also very technically savvy. But just not technically savvy enough to understand how systems integrate with one another. For example, so he came to us wanting to put a few applications in the cloud. He had Microsoft 365. He had a few other web-based applications that he was using with his company. And he had spent, you could tell, hours and hours putting together this plan. But when it came time to it, they didn't talk to one another. And so a lot of people spent a lot of time trying to figure out what it is that they're trying to do without even considering how they might talk to one another. Especially when you have a hybrid situation where half of it is in the cloud, half is in on-site, or your infrastructure is spread across multiple cloud vendors. And so when integrating new systems, you have to take to account the different systems. I mean, it's great to have an exit sign, but if it's in front of your security camera, it's not going to do you a whole lot. The security camera is now moot. And I mean, you know this. I mean, if you use multiple antiviruses on a computer, they're going to fight with each other, and then you're going to get nothing as a result. So you have to understand how different systems integrate with one another. And a lot of business owners and even technology people don't take that into account. And another thing you want to take into account is who's responsible for the problem determination. If you have multiple clouds and you come into an issue where two systems or two, let's say, software applications are working against one another, who's responsible to figure that out? Ultimately, that falls on the business owner or whomever. So, and if you look at the key cloud inhibitors, so why would people not move to the cloud? The middle three are... It all relate to that. So interoperability, in other words, the way that all the cloud initiatives work with one another. And people are worried that if they don't work with one another, it's going to get a little too complex. And if it gets too complex, what's going to happen? They're going to get locked in with something that they don't want. So all three of those middle inhibitors relate to one another. And so that's a key thing that you really have to figure out before you move into the cloud or put together a cloud plan. Testing is key. But what do you think is the most critical question that people don't ask about the cloud? And I'm talking about CFOs, upper-level management folks. Anybody want to take a guess? Most of them don't really consider how it will affect the end user. They don't. It's usually the C-level people making the decisions, and whatever happens after that, okay, well, you're going to have to deal with it. Very seldomly is the end user consulted. And so that makes that will be our last misalignment, the management with the end users. And the typical reason is because they're just not on the same page, right? If you're a football fan, one person's saying touchdown, the other one's saying incomplete pass. If anybody remember the replacement refs, it was a disaster, right? And so when everyone's not on the same page, you can have the most technically sound people and the most, you know, robust systems, but if your people are not on the same page as the end users, it can be a disaster. And it has been. I've seen it. For example, millennials. These are people that were born in the 90s. A lot of them will not go move to a company if they cannot use their own device, for example. So if you have a policy in place that says, well, you can't use your iPad or you can't use your mobile device, they'll say, well, I'll move elsewhere. And this is just another one of consideration as IT integrates into the business systems and to the business processes that you'll have to consider. It's great that you're thinking about different policies, particularly with security policies, but it has to take into account how this will relate to both your people and your business processes. And so what I recommend is having the three C's. The first one is collaboration. Whoops. How will employees adjust to this? It's a big deal. A lot of times, especially with people that are not familiar with technology, they're not comfortable with using technology, and they sure as heck are not comfortable with new IT systems. It could be better, but they're not comfortable with it. So you want to know in advance how quickly employees will adjust. You want them to be confident. And you want the end users to test the systems beforehand. You don't just want the people that are making the decisions, the CFO, CEO, CIO, sometimes CMO, whatever it may be. Typically that's what happens. And they say everything's good to go until it comes time for the deployment, and then everyone's really upset because things aren't working the way they did. You want to have as many end users as possible test the systems. You want to make it as cloud developers and as cloud service providers, it's our responsibility to make them comfortable, make the end user, not just the people that are making, that have the purse strings, but the end users responsible for testing the systems as well. Because if they have a buy-in, everyone will have a buy-in and everyone will be on the same page. And of course, you want to communicate exactly what is going to change. You want to let them know that, okay, things are going to change. You've tested it, and here's what's going to change. And you want to communicate that. You can either communicate it through your department heads. You can communicate it through company meetings, annual meetings, whatever the case may be. But they have to understand what's going to change. For example, these are a few questions you may want to ask. You may want to take into account when developing a cloud service or when providing a cloud service. You know, what's going to change? Are there limitations? How do I add new software? How do I integrate new software? How do I add and remove new users? Because typically what they've been able to do, the end users, is just go to Joe Schmo's website and download a software application. But, you know, in the cloud, that's a lot more difficult. And of course, management, you want to let them know how they will be able to control these systems. Here's an example of an administrative console. And try, when you're putting together these cloud services, you want to make them as easy and as intuitive and as end-user friendly as possible. For example, our clients can add users, remove users, add applications, add securities to security access controls to certain individuals, and it's really intuitive. For example, management can look at what their the usage is. You know, who's using which printers, when, which, where, and how. And so, the easier you make it, we found, the more they embrace it at the end, and the more successful they see the project. Again, you can have the most incredible systems, you can have the most brilliant people, but if the end users aren't happy, they're not going to be as productive, they're going to complain to others. And so what I recommend is enforce usage, and the only way to do that is to make it as simple as possible and as user-friendly as possible. So those are the three things that I see as the greatest impediments to cloud success outside of the technical arena, but from a business perspective, it's the alignment of objectives with with the cloud benefits. It's the alignment of systems with other systems, and as importantly, and probably more importantly, if you believe it, it's the alignment with management and the end users, and that's how I see it. Thanks.